You're listening to Carousel Radio,
broadcasting a creative voice of people with a learning disability. Carousel Radio is a spoken word show featuring stories and poems and interviews with people with a learning disability. The show goes out once a month on Radio Reverb and as a podcast on podomatic.com.
I'm Ewan.
My name is Davot.
And this is our compilation of the shows we've done for the past year. So I hope you enjoy the selection. And now we're going to turn over to one of the highlights of the show. Each show has a theme, and this is one of them. This is a food and drink clip.
Fib or fact?
Truths and lies.
Spot the lies.
Listen to the amazing facts.
Welcome to another Fib or Fact. We have two contestants who have 30 seconds each to answer three questions. They must decide whether my statements are fibs or facts. Our contestants are Fran and David Parker. David is Carousel's senior producer of film and digital. How's it going, David, with the film and digital?
Things are going really well. Oscar Bright Festival later this year. Films are coming in for that. But about 80 films so far. So this year's Oscar Bright Film Festival is the 15th, 16th and 17th of November at the Old Market in Hove.
And welcome to the show, David. Are you both ready?
I am indeed ready.
I'm ready.
Fran, we'll start with you and start the clock, please. Tomato ketchup used to be sold as medicine, a fib or a fact?
That's a fib.
No, it's a fact. In 1830, Dr. Mars compound extract tomato claimed that it could cure anything from baldness to athlete's foot. In South America, termites and ants are often roasted and eaten like popcorn.
That's true.
No, in fact, in South Africa, where termites and ants are often roasted and eaten as a snack. Apples, pears, cherries and strawberries are all members of the rose family.
That's fib.
No, it's a fact. Almonds, peaches, apricots, plums and raspberries are also part of the rose family. Fran, you got how many answers correct? She got absolutely nothing.
Oh my God.
David, you want to start the clock, please? In the US state of Kentucky, it's illegal to carry an ice cream cone in your back pocket.
I'm going to say that's a fact.
Yeah, it's a fact. Carrying food in your back pocket was outlawed to stop thieves stealing horses by tricking horses into following the thieves before being trapped and sold. In 1930, Frank Snickers invented the Mars chocolate bar. He named it Mars after his favourite donkey.
I think that's a fact.
It's a fib. In 1930, Frank Mars invented the Snickers chocolate bar. He named it Snickers after his favourite horse. Peanuts can be used to make dynamite.
Yes, that's a fact.
It is a fact. Peanut oil can be processed to produce glycerol, which can be used to make nitroglycerin, an explosive liquid used in dynamite. David, you got two correct.
Yeah, I'm delighted. I'm trounced, Fran.
Next time, Davit's back.
So, Fran, as the loser, your forfeit is to eat all the food mentioned in this quiz. Here's your meal. It includes tomato ketchup, termites, ants, popcorn, apples, pears, cherries and strawberries, almonds, peaches, apricots, plums and raspberries, an ice cream cone, a Mars bar, a Snickers bar and peanuts. Tuck it, Fran.
Oh, disgusted. Oh, I feel sick.
Not for the radio. Join us next time for another Fib or Fact. Thanks, Dave.
Fib or Fact?
Truths and lies.
Spot the lies.
Listen to the amazing facts.
When David was 19, he lived in a farm called Grange Farm in West Sussex. David lived there for 5 years with his key workers and carers. There were chickens, ducks, a dog and 3 cats. They tried to get some pigs, goats and sheep. The chickens and ducks laid eggs and they ate fried eggs for breakfast. David lived with German students and an English girl called Laura. And German students worked on a farm, digging the garden and planting vegetables. The students learnt English on the farm with the teacher. there was a homeopathic doctor on the farm who treated Davitt for an illness. On the farm, Davitt grew potatoes, tomatoes, cucumber, melons, pumpkin, fruit trees such as plum, apple, pear trees, herbs. They all ate all the food. At noon, Davitt banged a gong and shouted, "Come down for lunch!
Come down for lunch!"
Everybody would have lunch together. They would eat vegetables along with sausages and meats. After lunch, they would clear the table, wash up pots and pans, sweep the floor. They would have a break until 2 p.m. and then start working again. At dinner, Davitt would hit the gong and we'd all meet up around the table again.
Come down for dinner!
Davitt used to work on the garden. Davitt liked homemade jams, blueberry and blackberry and strawberry. Davitt also liked fruit salad and yogurt. Davitt's room was near the road and it was too noisy when cars went by. Davitt couldn't sleep very well at night and sometimes fell asleep in the afternoons. Eventually, Davitt moved out to a quiet house and slept very well.
You're listening to Carousel Radio.
Hello, Ewan.
Hi, Davitt.
This clip is all about games.
Cool.
Crystal Maze is on Channel 4, and then they played all different type of areas of the game. And one's with a bit of castle, and one with a bit of the space one, and the other one's for the other two as well. They played like different roll around the ball, and the other one is like holding the stick, put the key right through the thing. The other one is for the juice, go fall in one hole into another and get the ball right out the end of the game.
Okay, start the fans, please. Oh my
God. They win those little crystal balls. They go into a big crystal ball and then they grab the silver and the gold papers, put it into the machine, and they count how many balls there are on the board.
You got 78 gold! Yes! But you got 59 silver. You get the consolation prize.
Want to be a millionaire. The show was good, and it was on 8 o'clock in the afternoon. In that time, and answer the different question A, B, C, and D, and it was all answered the question, and it's done. A couple of people have 1 million.
You are a millionaire!
Fantastic! Richard is on his platform, and he's going to be facing the man who hates to lose. The awesome Shadow!
Gladiators was in the evening time. It was so good there, Gladiators, and they get up to the top of the point and they press the button and they won. They got big sticks with a big ball on the end of it. They have to stand on their two boards and whack to each other. He's Worf, he's got long hair, and he's got a beard as well. Thunder. She is good.
Contender, ready!
Are you ready, contestant?
Gladiator, ready!
Are you ready, gladiators?
Three, two, one,
go!
Oh, that was a bit
previous there, keen to get it on.
Now we turn over to another thing. This is about the future, and this is a clip from that very show.
My name is Fran Reynolds, and this show is all about the future. We have made a new Carousel Radio time machine, and we're going to visit the future. Where should we go first, Ewan?
Well, I think we'll go to the year 2020 and we'll see what happens.
Let's go!
Hey, let's go! Woo, we talk about this!
Fresh on the rail, can we have be a bit now? Born with a knocker, don't knocker, dip dog. Come fist and blow, not be dip dog. Are we futuristic? We so futuristic. A forward, we say ever optimistic. Pull it like a ball and make we clap it like a beat. Ember naturally, this is
it. I'm hungry now, can I order a pizza?
Yes, you can.
What is your order?
Pepperoni and cheese.
Your order will be with you in 5 minutes.
Oh my god. These pizzas are delicious.
Futuristic, we're so futuristic. A forward, we say ever optimistic. Pull it like a ball and every clap it like a beat. Naturalistic, yeah, we futuristic, we're so futuristic. How far would we say ever optimistic? Bowl it like a ball and make we clap it like a big six.
Let them know!
Futuristic, we're so futuristic. How far would we say ever optimistic? Bowl it like a ball and make we clap it like a big six.
Let them know!
I'm David on DJ Ringtone. This is my gadget review. In 2117, 133 years old. Forgive me if I forget things. First brand new DJ equipment. The Hologram 700 DJ controller. No wires in this one. The big touchscreen. You control music by touching the screen. You touch different colours, it made different sounds, played different songs. For you scratching as well. It glows in the dark, don't need any disco lights. I turned it upright loud, plays the music in old people's home. It was amazing. I recommend it. 10 out of 10!
Yay!
Next, it new iPhone 800. Brr, 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 brr. Telephone ringing. Implanted in our hands. Underneath the skin. Charge a battery in your heart. Your heart will charge your hand and the phone up. I used it.
Bowser!
4 out of 5.
Yay!
Finally, home entertainment. Old-fashioned records, they come back, you can buy them in shops. You can buy old gramophone record players made in 1903 at car boot sales. You wind them up and they play. Wheel-to-wheel tape players, old back in fashion. Problem is, tape will cost £500. Thank you for listening to my gadget show. I'm DJ Ringtone. Goodbye and see you later.
You're listening to Carousel Radio.
It's the year 2117 and a time machine has landed in Australia.
Good day, Mike.
Good day, Mike. The most popular form of entertainment is Robo Kangaroo Kickboxing.
Yeah!
Woo! Wow!
How'd you gonna fight, mate?
Skippy Bruno is the champion after defeating a local celebrity TV Mano.
This is Carousel Radio, I'm Ewan.
My name is Davot.
And this is our compilation of shows we've done for the past year.
This clip is all about sport.
Okay, lovely.
My name's Oliver Turnbull and I live at Jim Marshall House and I am the biggest fan of Brighton and Hove Albion. The Brighton fans are really friendly. They're a good, they're all a good bunch of supporters, and I think they're amazing. I do chat with the Brighton fans, but I most likely talk about what players are going to come into the club and who we're going to sell.
Could you tell us a bit more about the Old Withdean Stadium and how it compares to the brand new Amex Stadium?
Well, the Withdean didn't have a roof, and unfortunately, if it rained, you'll get soaked on. But it doesn't really compare to the Amex Stadium, because the Amex is one of the best stadiums that you can get in Brighton. It's really nice, and if it's pouring with rain, you won't get wet because there's a big roof, and it's just great, the Amex. It's just amazing. Every fan loves it. I scored a hat trick at the Amex, and I had my own fan club, and it was just incredible. It was for disability people, for adults. It was a lifetime to play on the pitch for the second time, because the first time round I played on the pitch, I didn't even score a hat trick, but the second time round, I did.
What are the facilities like at Amex for people with disabilities?
They're really good. They look good for the people, because they can all sit in their wheelchair on the concrete and just watch the game, and it's just incredible. How can I describe the season? Well, it was the start of the season was really good, because we were top of the table for a bit, and then towards Christmas we just lost a bit of momentum, and then unfortunately we didn't get promoted, and that was the only disappointing thing, that we didn't get promoted, because I had my heart on Brighton getting promoted this season. Well, unfortunately it didn't happen, so we've got another season in the Championship, and hopefully we will get promoted next season, and there'll be something to talk about for a long time. Same boys, bring it home. For all you lovely Brighton Hove Albion fans out there, Brighton Hove Albion versus Fulham on highlights. Anthony Nodcliffe free kick just before the break. Watch this. Bang! Into the net, and the fans are celebrating. Second half. Scallop. 30 yards. Top corner. Bang. Cracking goal. Cracking goal. Corner to Brighton. And Galton heads up to the head, and it goes over the goalkeeper and in for 3-0. His first goal for the club. And then here comes number 4. Brian Cahill, that came from Celtic. Cost a fortune. Sorry, that is Anthony Nodcliffe again. And there you have it, some beautiful goals. Brighton 5, Fulham 0.
This is Heathen Rose with a track from her album My Little Silver Songbook. This piece is called The Fable of the Three Cauliflowers.
Three people with cauliflowers for heads are sitting in a circle in a corner of a field. In the middle of the circle is a bowl of grapes, from which they are happily eating. The first cauliflower gets the attention of the other two.
Now pay attention, every veg. Before we go any further, you should know that not all these grapes are real grapes. Some of them are our latest weapon from France in our war against the broccoli. They work just like miniature grenades. See? You just pull the vine and throw.
He picks out a grape, picks the vine off and throws it into the neighbouring field, where it explodes. The other cauliflowers are impressed.
Ooh!
The first cauliflower turns to the second.
Now you try.
So I pull the vine and eat?
Why did you do that, you fool? Now you've got 3 seconds to live.
I don't know.
The second cauliflower's head explodes. First cauliflower addresses the third.
See, what she should have done is taken a real grape, like this one, and eaten that.
He eats the grape. Then, a look of horror comes over his face.
Wait, that That's not a real grape!
His head explodes. The third cauliflower realizes the enormity of what has just happened.
What? My friends? Are dead? My friends are dead. What am I going to do? Oh well, at least I've got some grapes.
He picks up a handful of grapes and eats them. Then a look of horror comes over his face.
Oh sh!
The end.
That was The Fable of the Three Cauliflowers by Heathen Rose. To hear more, search for Heathen Rose on SoundCloud.com.
This clip is all about money independent.
Carousel Radio.
For some people with learning disabilities, it's difficult to get their independence. Stuart's been living at home with his mother, sharing a bedroom with his brothers. He's now in his mid-30s and looking to move out for the first time to live with carers. Here is Stuart's audio diary on the process.
I am hoping to move, and it's going to be a good fun, and I've already seen the place twice, what it's like, and I've already got the space, I've already got the room, and then I'm hoping to have the funding there for that. Where I am at the moment is I'm in Portslade. I'm with my mum at the moment, and when I go across to Hollingbury, I'll be with my carers. The reason why I'm moving, because I wanted a better space for me to do things in, and it does evolve around a little bit independent, because for some time now I've always wanted Gail to come round so we can spend some time together and things. Gail is my girlfriend and I'm engaged to her. We're wanting to go out, go for a walk, that sort of thing, and watch DVDs together. The major concern is not, I haven't really, because I've seen the place itself, I've seen the lounge, I've seen the bedroom, I've seen the whole house. The only concern I want now is for the funding to be in place now for when I get there. Who's involved at the moment is myself, my mum, there is a social worker involved, and then it's with the Shared Lives team. They deal with all housing. They look into it, that sort of thing, and they get funding for you. Because this is what I've been wanting for many years now, I wanted, and I was short for space, and I'm wanting a bigger space to do the things I'm wanting to do so I can get more independence. As I'll be able to have my girlfriend around as much as I can, and my friends to be around as well, if as much as I want, basically. Because at the moment, I'm not really getting friends coming around to see me, and I'm not really having my girlfriend around to see me.
Stuart, it's September. How are you getting on with your move?
It's coming on okay, but I am still waiting I'm still waiting for that, which is a lot of it's down to social services.
How long will you have to wait for social services?
Well, first thing I have to wait for is the exact date and when I can move, and I'm waiting for the funding to come through, which they always take forever. But I've had loads of meetings, it's all agreed, they've all said yes. This process has been taking for ages now, forever. It's been taking ages and ages and ages, and I keep asking the staff about it. They don't know, so all I can do is wait. That's all I can do now. And there's carers I've chosen, which I want to be with, which they're quite good. They are very new carers, they've never done it before. They're very well trained to look after people like me.
Is there anything social services can do to make moving out easier for people with learning disabilities?
Well, there's one option they can do is speed up the process very quick, which would be good. And then that way, once it's all gone through and they know they're moving and they got the date, then they can start packing and move.
Would you do this process again?
Once I've moved, that's it. I won't ever move again. Once the process goes through, that's it. You can't go back to your original house. You can visit, but you can't go back. Once you've got your funding, that's it. You're out of there. But it still doesn't mean you can't go back and visit your parents or whoever.
How do you think this might change your life?
Things that might be different is I'll be able to have friends round. Be able to have my girlfriend around as well. That would be different. I'll be able to go out a lot more, that sort of thing.
Well, good luck, and we hope you get your independence soon.
Thank you, Fran.
In September 2016, Stuart told us the good news that he was finally moving out of his mum and dad's.
The first new update I have now is next Thursday, and my funding has come through now, which I was been waiting for. The whole process and talking about it, it took from 2010. It had been talked about hundreds of times, loads of times. And in September 2016, I will be moving. This is the thing I've been talking about since 2010. The process of it I experienced to get there and to get this far is very, very slow. And you have to wait a bit, and then you have to have loads more meetings, that sort of thing.
Stuart has now moved out and is enjoying his new, independent life in his new house.
Congratulations, Stuart, on moving into a new home.
This clip is all about childhood.
I am working on a Christmas show with Outlook House, June Marshall House and Brighton Vision. And it's called Alice in Outlookland. And it's a really good show. The story is of a young girl called Alice. And I am playing the Queen of Hearts. And it was based on a book by Lewis Carroll, which was written in 1865. He named it Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. In the story, a young girl called Alice falls through a rabbit hole into a fantasy world filled with amazing characters such as the Mad Hatter, Cheshire Cat, March Hare, Mock Turtle, Knave of Hearts, Bill the Lizard and the White Rabbit. In 1871, Lewis Carroll wrote a follow-up called Through the Looking Glass and What Alice Found There. This includes characters such as Jabberwocky, Humpty Dumpty and Tweedledum and Tweedledee. These stories have been turned into many movie versions. In Christmas 2016, the Outlook Foundation used Alice as their theme for their annual Christmas show. The cast is made up of people who live in Outlook House, June Marshall House and Brighton Vision. The show is directed by Phil Willett.
I'm Philip. I play a chef, one of the Blues Brothers, and I also wrote most of tonight's production. We did a show last couple of years, and then the first year I worked with these guys, it was like a variety show, and then the second year it was a panto. And we had requests from everybody involved in tonight's production about, it was equal numbers. Some wanted to do a panto and some wanted to do a variety show. So I came up with the idea of merging the two together. So Alice has fallen into a wonderland where the Queen, played by our lovely Fran, is trying to organise her royal variety show. So the acts are auditioning in the centre of the play for the variety show. So we get the individual talent bits in, linked together with the traditional story of Alice in Wonderland.
I'm Chris, but call me Phil Collins. I'm the same Blues Brother, and I'm playing Cliff Richard, Sir Cliff Richard, Phil Collins, and I'm showing how the directing with me, Phil.
I'm Matthew Zeller, I'm a singer for this show, and become Joe Cocker and Phil Collins.
We are people that have got a learning disability, and the show is really, really, really good. We do the shows every year, so our parents can come and watch the Christmas show at the end of the year. They find it very good, very interesting, they do. And they join in with a finale song. And there's also stalls as well. And there's a raffle for charity. The money goes to the Outlook Foundation.
The two charities, Children in Need, saving children from dying, and they need food and drink. And the Outlook Foundation charity has given me the best opportunity to go to Africa in the next couple of weeks so I can raise my money for my charity, Children in Need.
My favourite bit is probably when I sing Take That Shrine.
And my favourite thing when I sing the voice of Phil Collins against all odds.
The best number one in the world is the Blues Brothers, what me you are doing, because it's the best one ever.
It's got to be the surreal thing of dressing up as a letter and singing with a postbox return to sender.
And it's pretty good.
Yeah. What do you hope will happen next year?
I would love to direct it with Philip. When he first joined us in the foundation, it's great to have made me feel to direct it every year.
It's going to be interesting next year because Fran says she wants to take a part in the writing of it and do a sort of Harry Potter spoof. So that could be quite interesting.
No, James Bond thing.
Well, we've got two topics, and so next year's show should be interesting.
I am King. You are?
I'm Alice.
Well, pleased to meet you. To meet you.
Nice.
Welcome to Carousel Radio.
This is a clip from our show Roots and Ancestors.
Going back to my roots, yeah. To face of my birth. Back down to earth.
This is about my background, my family, and I thought it might be interesting to let people know about my family. My ancestry. My name is Johnny Schachter, and I was born in England but raised in Edmonton, Alberta. My dad was born in Montreal in September of 1920, and my mum was born in Riga, Latvia in 1923. My mum and dad first met in a biochemistry lab at McGill University in Montreal. On my dad's side, they were of Jewish Ukrainian background, and dad's family fled from the Ukraine roughly in the 1910s. On my mum's side, because of the Russian revolutions in the 1910s, her family were pro-Bolshevik. Although most of my mum's family died in the Holocaust, her immediate family, meaning her mom, dad, and sister, were in Sweden in 1939. Because of the war, one could not travel through Europe, so they went all the way through Russia to Vladivostok, then Japan, and then to New York, where they lived for a year before moving to Montreal. Montreal at that time was very anti-Semitic, since Duplessis was in power. When mom met dad, Dad was in medical school, but decided not to be a doctor, but a research scientist. His area was in biochemistry and physiology. As well, he was also a qualified psychiatrist. After Mum and Dad married in 1944, they moved to Halifax in 1947, and then to London, England, where they raised three kids, me and my older brother Eric and my older sister Marion. They moved to England in 1950, but moved again in 1965 to Edmonton, Alberta. I was 8 years old when we moved to Edmonton, and I have very fond memories of Edmonton because I had lots of friends and an interesting life, like going to high school and then university. My earliest childhood memories was when I was 7 in England in 1964, going to see A Hard Day's Night, the film, with Marion, and I was very excited about seeing the Beatles film. Also that year, before we moved to Canada, Dad took me to a Pete Seeger concert in 1965, which I still remember. Well, my dad was a skeptic, my mum was an atheist, and her father was an atheist, and Mum and Dad were never strict about Jewish religion in our house. I think we are called secular Jews. I still remember my granny, my mum's mum. She was alive before we moved to Canada. Every morning at the breakfast table, I would turn her egg cup upside down for an egg. I still remember the incident. And I love to tell you, on Wednesdays, this was before we moved to Canada and England, every Wednesday, school would be shut on a Wednesday afternoon, and Granny, Mum and me used to go to Golders Green and have a Chinese meal.
Carousel Radio.
Interviews and stories from people with a learning disability.
Carousel Radio.
So have you got any famous or important ancestors, Becky?
Maybe. I've got, I did have a granddad called Jonas, which is in English John. And he was born in Lithuania and was part of Russia. And they asked him if he would fight for Germany. He said, "No, sorry, I'm not fighting for Germany." Then they asked him if he would fight for Britain, and he said, "Of course I would. I've always wanted to go there. It would give me a chance to get on a plane and travel." And he fighted in the Second World War for Britain, and because he fighted, they gave him dual nationality. But the trouble is, he got wounded on his leg and had to have metal, and he had metal around his leg, and went to St Dunstan's and met my nan. My nan was working at St Dunstan's. She was a nurse. She used to always say to me she just liked to see the army men. She liked to eye them up. And the first one she went to go and visit was my granddad. So she thought, right, OK, this will do.
And the rest is history, they say.
Yes, the rest is history.
Matthew Kennedy is from Glasgow, Scotland, and he is an artist, filmmaker and writer who has made 3 short films around lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual and learning disability subjects. He also has started up a blog in which he writes about the learning disability arts community from a cultural and personal perspective.
And the spoken word piece we're about to introduce is Where Is Our History? Was written by Matthew due to the frustration he felt that there isn't enough conversations or information around learning disability archives or histories. He's hoping that this piece will open up more conversations with other people with learning disabilities and learning disability organisations.
It all started with a small red notebook that I had. My mind started running wild with questions I was asking myself. I immediately started scribbling down notes. Where is our history? How do we find it? How old is the learning disability arts community? Has the learning disability arts community been fairly represented historically? Representation. Is our history being archived? And if so, how would the learning disabled community access it? Where would our histories be kept and stored? Should we start documenting our own individual histories as learning disabled artists? There's so many questions to ask. Question your history. What about the generation of learning disabled artists who came before us? Are their histories being looked at? Where does the conversation start? With ourselves or with members of our community? With family and friends? With learning disability arts organisations? Is the history of the learning disability arts community and its potential archives a creative and cultural issue? Does this particular subject get spoken about enough within our community? Should we start up our own individual archives? Has our history as a creative community always existed in some form? It must exist in some form. It has to exist in some form. But it doesn't end there. What about looking at the histories of the learning disabled communities in general? This is not a validation game. Not everybody with a learning disability is an artist. 6% of people with learning disabilities in England are currently in full-time employment. Talking about archives and our histories in general could be a way of opening up more conversations between us and our community. What was it like to be a person with a learning disability in society in the 50s, 60s, 70s, etc.? How did society treat us back then? Has the general history of the learning disability community been documented in the history books? Artifacts and objects, whether it be records, films, books, visual art, they show that we have the power to document our lives as people within society. Through making music, writing, filmmaking, visual art, we as a community are leaving a time capsule of objects behind. What about future generations? Will they be able to seek out our history? We have a culture, and it is there for us to explore. So let us start exploring and find out where our history is.
This is Carousel Radio. I'm Ewan.
My name is Davot.
And this is our compilation of shows we've done for the past year.
This clip is all about technology.
Carousel Radio!
We are now going to hear from another Carousel project, Q Imperfect.
Hello, my name is Jason. I am the artistic director for Cure Imperfect. I design the artwork, I storyboard the actual story, and come up with most of the ideas in the actual story itself. What it is an artwork and discussion around the issues and perfection of curing disability. The majority at the moment is through an online graphic novel, which we're currently working on the second chapter now. The third chapter is up online. The online graphic novel, it's all about creating an imperfect character in a world where the world is perfect and you need to find your place because you don't belong. Chapter one is where you start off with a malfunctioning machine which creates characters, and it creates an imperfect character. But the problem is the world itself is perfect and imperfection in this world is not tolerated. So you have to sort of escape from the factory you're in into the world and then try and find your place. So that's basically the idea of chapter one. Chapter two is just going to be a giveaway, so I'm going to keep that hush hush. Let's move on to the characters. Through the characters, it was actually done through a collaboration between two different people. I designed a rough sketch of what some of the characters should look like or might look like. And then I passed the rough sketches I designed to the illustrator of the project, Will Hanekom. He took my designs away and came up with a very cartoonish, very creative version of it. I don't think people truly have an understanding or a concept of what disability truly is, and we're trying to portray that through the story. And we're also trying to bring science into it. Now, I'm not a scientist, so I have no idea what the science is. We're actually partnering with Birmingham University. We've got two scientists over there who work with stem cell research. We're collaborating with them. We've actually gone up to Birmingham, run a couple of projects up there. They've even come down to here to give a talk and perform a workshop. They're really happy to be working with us, and they've given us some real insight into the project.
My name is Sarah Goldie, and I am an actor.
So, sir, can you tell me why you got involved with this project?
Well, I'm interested in the science. I do enjoy it because I'm learning a lot from this, how you can cure disabilities. I am writing a poem about curing perfect with the story of the characters. I went up to Birmingham University because we did some role plays, because I'm very good at acting.
The project at Birmingham University, we were working closely with medical students. And the idea was we were going to go to Birmingham and role play a patient with some form of illness or disability. And the students had to figure out what it was and how they could correct diagnosis, how they could cure it, what they'd recommend.
So I did some characters, and the students there learned a lot.
And each role play was slightly different. Like, one would have a broken leg, one would have a mental state in the mind, and it was all mixed and matched just to test the students' reactions and their deduction capabilities. The original question came about was, if you could take a drug injection or something that would remove disability, Would you take it? And then if you would take it, why would you take it? I'm sort of half and half. There are days where it would be yes, but then there are other days where it would be like, well, no, why would I want to take it? I do know a few people who would love to take the drug. So people who wouldn't want to take the drug, they think it would take away what makes them, because they think they're perfect already. They don't want to change because they think if they take the drug, then they'll change them and then people will view them differently. They've grown up with a disability, they're used to the disability, and in some ways they're sort of proud of the disability. They can do stuff which is important to them, which other people don't actually see or know. And to lose that is they're sort of losing something part of themselves, and it's really interesting.
My name is Tina and I am the social media of Cure Imperfect. Why I'm doing it is I wanted to show that people with a learning disability don't just sit around on our bottoms all day. We have a life like everyone else. We do stuff in a different way. I think it's really important to show that there's not just one disability, there's all different kind of disabilities. We did 3 events in Brighton. One was a drop-in and the other two were mostly, like, they were timed. And people came and they got to play the game and we did activities and we had everybody from all different ages that really enjoyed it and we got very good feedback about it.
At the current moment, we have funding for 3 chapters. Chapter 2 itself will be out in September. Chapter 3 is in the works. We're hoping to get more funding, if we can, for further chapters. The world we've created is actually quite big and immersed, and we really would like to expand on that. We are experimenting in a comic book. We may be working in an immersive theatre piece, and hopefully going to turn it into a small radio drama as well. We are hoping to make it really as big as possible.
On our website at the moment, you can play the first chapter, and the website is cureimperfect.com. So come and meet your character and come and see the amazing novel.
This next one is called Take a Chance, and here's a clip.
Stranger things have happened in Haleshan. If you look in dictionaries, there are all dirty words in there. If you took all the swear words out, people wouldn't be able to use them. Stranger things have happened in Hurst Pierpoint. According to people being late, if you get your car clamped and saw the clamp off, you have to pay a fine. True or what? Stranger things have happened in Queen's Road. I feel like a pair of curtains. If people get stuck in traffic and they have temporary traffic lights, it means that they have diversions. True or what? Stranger things have happened in Storrington. True or what? When people are in bed at night, they go round nicking street lamps. When the milkman gets up in the morning, he finds there are no street lamps. True or what? Eh? Stranger things have happened in Croydon.
So we played a word association game using words about luck and chance. Then we turned these words into a story and Fran is going to tell you the story.
The story is called The Chance by Carousel Radio. We decided to play a
game.
We wanted to take a
gamble.
We decided we wanted to play a game of
Monopoly.
So we started by dividing up the
money.
But we got bored and went to the pub to watch
football
instead. David had a
bet
on the match. We wished him
good luck
and it turned out to be a
good game of luck.
He won £50. They all went to the casino so David could spend his winnings on
roulette.
He hoped to make his
fortune.
Fran went on the game machine.
Wheel of Fortune.
As Stuart went on the Who Wants to Be a
Millionaire
machine. David made a big
loss
at the roulette wheel. He put it down to
bad luck.
Fran won at first, but pressed the game machine buzzer again
buzz
and lost everything. But no one knew that Ewan was on the poker table beating everybody.
We've got a winner!
He took everybody to the pier and brought him a bag of donuts. Ewan went home rich.
Everyone's a winner, baby, that's no lie.
Let's go live.
This is Carousel Radio.
This is a clip from the Five Senses Show. Welcome to the taste test. We've got two contenders here who are Fran and David. So Fran is blindfolded. We're going to give her four things to taste. Here's the first one, Fran. What's it taste like?
It tastes like ham and pineapple pizza.
That's correct. So here's the second taste, Fran, for you.
Lovely. Is it strawberry jam?
You're right, yeah, it is strawberry jam. And third one for you, Fran, is...
My favourite. Is it apple crumble and custard?
Yes, it is indeed. Apple crumble and custard. To wash it all down, Fran, this is your final one.
Is it pineapple juice?
You got all four, Fran.
Yay!
So David is now officially blindfolded, and he is going to taste these four things, which are odd looking. Here's the first one.
That's disgusting.
What do you reckon it is, David?
I don't know.
That was octopus and frog pie. And the second one, David, for you, is this.
Disgusting, that was.
Do you have any idea what it was, David?
It tastes very bad chicken.
It's scrambled flying saucers with French flies. So you think it's fries, you're wrong to say. It's not chips, it's flies. Third dish, David, for you is this.
Oh, that's like jam. Disgusting jam.
It's an alien burger with shrimp ketchup on it.
Tasty.
So the last one, David, is this.
That is amazing, disgusting octopus.
It's not actually. It's spaghetti worms with runny nose sauce. So Fran, well done. You've got top marks, that's 4 points. David, I'm afraid you're the loser and I've got none. David, how do you feel?
Oh, I'm going to go out the door and be sick.
We are now going to listen to The Five Senses Song. And it's by Mr. R from his Songs for Teaching.
Five senses, I count those. I use eyes, ear, skin, tongue, and nose. I have five senses, I count those. I use eyes, ear, skin, tongue, and nose. My eyes can see, my ears can hear, my skin can touch, so much. My tongue can taste, my nose can smell. My five senses work really well. Eyes, sight, ears, skin, touch, so much, tongue, taste, nose, smell. My five senses work really well. I have five senses, I count those. I use eyes, ear, skin, tongue, and nose. I have five senses, I count those. I use eyes, ear, skin, tongue, and nose. My eyes can see. My ears can hear, my skin can touch, so much. My tongue can taste, my nose can smell. My five senses work really well.
And here's the fast part.
Eyesight, ears, hear, skin, touch, so much. Tongue, taste, nose, smell. My five senses work really well.
Here's a snippet from our holiday show.
My name is Dava.
My name is Ewan.
My name is Fran.
My favourite holiday
was a flotilla holiday sailing around Greece.
I stayed in the cabin in this point in Cornwall.
My favourite holiday was on the Mediterranean cruise. My favourite beach
is Port Holland in Cornwall.
Blackpool Beach
is any sandy beach, probably Littlehampton.
My favourite holiday moment
was when my dad's friend dressed up as a Spice Girl.
If you want to be my lover, you have got to be.
Visiting family in Scotland. We stayed with my aunties and cousins.
My favourite holiday moment. Getting soaked at the end of a dinosaur ride in America.
Wow, soaked!
During the Great British Summer, not everybody gets to enjoy their holiday. These are three people who have had a bad holiday. Let's hope you have better luck and have a happy holiday.
Bonjour, my name is Gimme, and I arrived at the Villa Bonne del Fourage in the Pyrenees last night, and it's in the middle of nowhere. I was looking around and then I found his dead body in the swimming pool. Oh my God! I couldn't believe it! I was in shock! And then a police inspector arrived, and now I'm prime suspect to murder. And it turns out that the body was the chief of police. This could end up being almost as bad as the Margate in 1987.
81 Bangle, get off the phone!
Can you get that away from me now, the dead body?
My name is Bluebird Fairway. I'm staying at the Hotel Rockstars Barcelona. Builders are still working on the hotel and are making noise from early morning. The roof has partially collapsed. It's torrential rain and hailstones outside, and the water is coming in. The walls are wet, the blankets on my bed are wet, and I have started to go mouldy. I'm leaving today and will write a letter of complaint. See you later, Barcelona. Get out of the hotel!
I was in a hotel in Portugal. I was really looking forward to a week in the sun. But when I arrived, the hotel stank really bad. It smells of rotten cheese, fish and sewage. It's really horrible. And to make matters worse, I found that it was a nudist hotel. None of the staff are wearing anything they're truly needed. They're truly nude. I complained to the manager and he told me, shut up and get out!
Shut up and get out!
Well, that's not very nice. I'm leaving now. Bye!
So thanks for listening to this show, the compilation. We'll be back in next month in October when the theme will be nightmares.
Yeah, it's spooky. There is spooky.
You can hear all of our shows or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Podomatic, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you like the show, it would be helpful if you could rate us on iTunes. Just search for Carousel Radio. You can follow Carousel Art UK on Facebook and Twitter. If you have stories, poems, or would like to get in contact with the show, you can email radio@carousel.org.uk. Thanks for listening to Carousel Radio.
Goodbye!